I will be reading the scripture that Jan also read, and I like that. I know I need to hear things multiple times in order for them to sink in. I'll be reading from Isaiah 55, verses 10 to 13. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Lord, bless you, Steve, as you share with us.
So I want to look at the second part of Isaiah 55 this morning. Last week we looked at the first 10 verses, and it was there that it was much more of an imagery of food to eat. Come and eat without money, without cost. Remember last week we had two tables, the food that truly nourishes. There was bread for nourishment. There was milk for growth and maturity. There was wine for joy. On the other table, there was things that don't satisfy. Cotton candy with Peeps, soda, and something else. A Big Mac, yeah. All right. So this whole chapter is full of images that really help us understand some spiritual truths. But what Isaiah seemed to be saying, what God seemed to be saying through Isaiah in that first part was, listen. The metaphor for eating and taking in was to listen, take in the word of God, and you will live. You know, you take in these words that talk about my loyal love and my covenant that I will have with you. Come and take in these words which point especially to Jesus, the Son of David, in whom all these promises and these words find their fulfillment and find life in him. He's the center of it all. And then also these words that call us towards repentance and hungering towards God's ways and God's thoughts that are far above our own ways and our own thoughts, and renouncing them for God's ways and God's truths. So now we're at the second part, verses 10 to 13. Now it shifts away from like a banqueting table to more of a plants flourishing. And that's why I wore this tie this morning, just to give us another visual image of this. But it starts with what I get. I'll look to Neil if you know. Is it called the water cycle, where rain comes down and then rain comes down, waters the earth, and then it evaporates, and water vapors formed in the clouds, and just keeps repeating that. Rain doesn't come down and then return void. So Isaiah is saying, so it is with the word of God, that it comes down from heaven, it comes down from above, it does its work of nourishing and giving life, and it will accomplish its purposes. Jan did a good job with the children to help us all understand that God will accomplish what he desires. He will achieve his purposes. They will prosper as his word goes out. This was especially valuable. These were words that were spoken to people who were in exile. They were wondering if God was still with them, if God's promises and God's covenant still held. And they needed to hear that, yes, my word, my promises, my covenant stands with you. But for us then to think about, what are God's intentions? What are God's purposes for us, even today, let alone the exiles back centuries ago? And it seems to me we think about God's purposes being fulfilled both in the big eternal picture, that one day everything will find its completion and its fullness in Christ Jesus. Everything will be fully restored. But then there's also that trying to understand what's God's purposes? What are God's intentions that he's speaking forth to even today, more in this temporary or this today time? My thoughts went back to a movie I saw in my teenage years, Karate Kid. I don't know if that's still relevant, but this teenager was learning karate from his sensei, and he told him to go out to his car and wax it. And if you remember, wax on, wax off. We used to do that all the time. Wax on, wax off. And this teenager's thinking, what is the purpose of this? What does this have to do with karate? You know, but here he was learning a move, a karate move through that, and probably also learning discipline to go out and to be disciplined to do this work on this guy's car. But, you know, I'm sure the exiles were thinking the same thing. God, how is this part of your purposes for us? Sending us away to Babylon, how does this fit with your purpose for our lives? So we might ask those questions, like what we're experiencing today, how is that part of your purpose for our life, for this world, and so forth? But then also just that general question of, in these days, God, what's your purpose? What are you speaking into our church? What's our purpose for being? What are we all about in our own lives, in the way that the world is presently situated? How are your purposes being fulfilled today as we anticipate them coming in all of their fullness in a later date? So I thought about, you know, what do scriptures say about God's purposes? Like, how could we summarize what the purposes of God are? So I did a little bit of a survey, and clearly from this scripture, we can see that God's purpose is to speak forth in ways that bring life, that go from the thorn bush to the cypress or to the evergreen. You know, from briars to other trees that are full of life. And a lot of what I was seeing, pulling up about what God's purposes are, a lot of it had to do, what is God's purpose for my life? But it seems like we should start with what's God's bigger purpose that I'm just a small part of? And I saw scriptures that talked about that God's name would be proclaimed throughout the earth. You know, last week we saw that scripture, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That somehow that understanding would spread throughout the world and God would be recognized for who he is. That his ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. God's purpose is that his glory would break forth. I thought our songs today covered that in a variety of ways. Like, on the one hand, we talked about God as being incomparable, indescribable, but we also talked about God as Savior, friend, the one who comes alongside, the lifter of the lowly. You know, so you've really got a full picture of how God's glory might break through in this world in powerful ways, miraculous ways, but in glorious ways, but also just as he, in his love, how he comes alongside of us. God's glory breaks forth when we do justly and when we love mercy and when we walk humbly with God. His glory breaks forth. God wants to call the people of his very own. He's a God of relationship who wants to be God and Father of us all. And he calls people out of darkness into his marvelous light so that we can serve him, so that we can be priests of the living God, and that we would be a holy people. So just some of the ways that we might talk about the purposes of God through scripture. And so I thought the imagery here is rain and snow coming down. Did anybody else think of California when that scripture was read? Like, that's what I pictured, because they're just getting all kinds of snow and rain this year. And our son used to live out in Fresno, and like, we'd go visit from maybe 2015 to 2020, and near where he lived, there was a reservoir, and it was always half empty. You know, they've been going through this protracted drought. And then now all of a sudden there's this, what I'm seeing termed just this week a super bloom. I think there's a picture in Lancaster paper. It wasn't this picture, but this is another picture from California. Just this breakout of wildflowers and all kinds of life that you can see. I thought I remember reading you could see it from space, but that doesn't seem to make sense to me that you'd be able to see flowers and stuff from space. But anyway, from great distance up, you can see this life blooming in California. Just one way that we could visualize how when God's glory breaks forth, when his word comes and when it's established, when it fulfills its purpose, there's life that comes in great abundance. And there's scriptures that talk not only here, but that talk about just the certainty that God's word at some point will be fulfilled in the big picture and in our particular lives. Isaiah 46, just like 9 or 10 chapters earlier, this is what God says. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there's no other. I am God, there's none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times and what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. And so that's our call to somehow internalize that God is altogether trustworthy, that he will accomplish his purposes. Jesus says, heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will never pass away. And you can count on the promises, the word of God to reach their fulfillment. But there's another image here of briars and thorn bushes. And this is our challenge, because sometimes often in life we might be going through stuff, or we might look around and say, I don't really see God's purposes being fulfilled. You know, where is it? You know, and so we're tested in that way. I don't know if anybody else this week thought, you know, what is the deal with people getting shot in going to the wrong door, going in the wrong driveway, getting a ball out of the neighbor's yard? You know, just all these, along with all the other horrendous shooting stories that we've heard. And you know, in my other job, I go to people's houses. And sometimes they'll say, I'll just knock on the door and come on in. And it makes me think, you know, what if I go to the wrong door? I mean, that can feel a lot more dangerous than maybe it did in my past. But, you know, we ask those questions like, God, how are your purposes being fulfilled? How can we see that? And sometimes April and I are praying along with friends of ours who are in this situation. It just seems like it never seems to get resolved, you know, and when will God's purposes finally seem to win the day in this particular family circumstance? Well, I mentioned, I think last week, that at the LMC Leaders Day, we studied this scripture together, Isaiah 55. And then after we studied it in circles, the message of the day, I call it like the exhortation, the word of encouragement for the pastors and leaders there, was given by Hyacinth Stevens, who's he's one of the bishops up in New York City and MCC East Coast director. And her theme goes along with this. She used the theme of a banquet table, kind of more from the early part of the chapter. But what she was saying is, can you see the banqueting table? Like, are you able to see God's fulfillment? Like, can you picture God's purposes coming to bear? You might still be in the darkness. You know, and this, like at creation, the Spirit of God is hovering, waiting to pour forth creation. You know, you might still feel like you're in the darkness, but can you see and can you trust that banqueting table is there representing God's purposes coming to fruition? Today, maybe with today's message, we say, can you see the bloom? You might still be in the briars or the drought of California, but can you see that a flourishing at some point will come, or that God's purposes will come about in one way or another, either in this life or the next? And then she went on to explain when she stepped into a pastorate in New York City. At the time when it was even suggested, her thought was absolutely not. You know, the church was really struggling at that time. And you know, in her words, you would say, it's hard to see how God's purposes could be fulfilled at that particular time. She'd be really stepping into a challenge. But she ultimately did that and then just gave testimony of how God was at work in ways beyond their own efforts to bring about life, to bring about his purposes in that community and in that church. So she could give testimony that, even in the darkness when it was hard to see that God's purposes could be fulfilled anytime soon, God was faithful to move in various ways. And so that's, you know, that's the challenge that we face too. It's easy to stop with just the thought, God will fulfill his purposes. You know, they will never come, his words won't come back void. But then when we look around in life or our own circumstances, we can question that. You know, is that in fact true? Can we count on that? Scripture gives us hope. The story of Joseph is all about that. Like, this word came to Joseph in a dream that somehow he would rise to this place of prominence. And in his naivety, or as his, maybe this arrogant little brother, as he retold the story and the dream to the family, it seemed like it was all about him rising to prominence. And then when he was sold into slavery and when he was put in prison, it was probably hard for him to envision that word of the Lord coming to be fulfilled. But it was. And it wasn't for Joseph. It was for his people. It was to save his people and to save a lot of people in that day when the famine hit Egypt. And so in Psalm 105, it says, God sent a man before them. His name was Joseph, who was sold as a slave, and they afflicted his feet with fetters. He himself was laid in irons until the time that God's word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested Joseph. I thought that's the word for us today. You know, we need to hold on to the idea that God's word will not go out and then come back empty. God's word will be fulfilled. But in the meantime, that word may actually test us. Can we believe this? Will we stand on the promises of God? Will we believe that Jesus is Lord? Will we believe that God can change circumstances around us in every circumstance, individually, in the church, in our family, in our world, in our community? The word of God tests us as we wait for it to be fulfilled. So I'd just like to close with these words from Hebrews. Let this be our final encouragement. But more often than not, I'm sorry, it's the next page. Hebrews 10. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Hang in there. Trust the words and the promises of God. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, when you've remained faithful, you will receive what he's promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and not delay. Or we could say the purposes of God somehow will come. And maybe in ways we didn't understand, but they will come. And my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are those who believe and are saved. May that be true of us, that we really trust that the word of God stands and it will be fulfilled, maybe partially in this life, but in all of its fullness in one day. So let's pray. together. God, we thank you, we praise you that your words, your promises, your very nature are trustworthy and true, that you've spoken forth your purposes to create a people, to redeem all things, to bring a kingdom of righteousness, to come alongside of us in our weakness, all of these promises and words of hope and restoration. May we continue to stand on them, even when those words and those promises are tested in our hearts and in our circumstances. Keep us strong. May we not shrink back, but may we continue to move forward in faith. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen.